Assumed Responsibility by Inbure Lily, read by Daisy Diversions. The rating is mature, and the creator chooses not to use archive warnings. The fandom is MDZS, and the relationship is Jinling / Lan Yuan. Originally written for the MDZS Big Bang 2025. Summary. After an assassination attempt and a shitty night hunt, Jinling finds himself stuck in a cave with a knocked out and injured Shizui, which would be fine and easy to manage if it wasn't for the fact that said Lan has a head wound. What the fuck is the proper protocol for dealing with a knocked out Lan with a bleeding head wound that could only be treated properly if you remove that damn forbidden head ribbon? Author's notes. This is my first time writing for a Big Bang, and OMG has it been so much fun. Not all the chapters are quite done, yay real life, so I don't know what the posting schedule will be after the 16th, but it's nearly done. Big shout out to the Yada Yada Yogurt for beta reading what should have been a 25k fic. You've been amazing. And to both Blue and Meg for their fantastic art. Reader's notes. Okay, so I am going to do this as a cheeky little ice cold read. I've not read it before. Lily has talked about this fic, so I have a sense of some things that may be coming up, but I've never actually read the text before, so this will be my first time at it. A cold read also means that I will be doing limited to no editing on it, so I will be leaving in my errors. I also have a little dog here, so you may hear her a little bit in the background. She doesn't really bark or anything like that, so I don't think she's gonna set off your animal, but you might hear her shifting or sighing along sufferingly because she hates when I podfic. But right now she is sleeping very nicely next to me. So hopefully that will continue for the rest of this chapter. Also, as Lily noted, this fic is currently a WIP in terms of the writing as of recording this, but I pledge to finish it once it is done. Right now there's two chapters posted. I know that it seems like she's posting like one a week, so I think I can keep up with that pretty well. And then yeah, whenever she comes back to do the last chapter or two, whatever's still pending out there, I can go ahead and clean that up once it's out. But yeah, if you're somebody who struggles with WIPs, then this one you might want to pause on just for a little bit and then come back to it if you want. You can always subscribe to get the notifications when the fic has been completed, or this podfic has completed, whichever you choose to subscribe to. Anyway, I think that's it for right now. So thank you, Lily, for having blanket permission to podfic. And let's get started. Chapter 1. There had been a lingering, unpleasant twist in his gut when Jinling realized he was now the same age his Adia was when he died. He had spent that night holding on to Fairy, who didn't fuss or whine when Jinling buried his face in her soft fur to help muffle his broken sobs. It didn't feel real, and for months he avoided looking at his parents' portraits, unable to stand the fact that he would continue to change as he got older, while his Adia would be stuck in time. It made Jinling wonder if, at this age, his Adia was also His Audia also had to deal with the elders still treating him like a child. Or did Jin Zixuan being married with a son negate that? Did he have similar worries about how to deal with a family who believed they could lead better? Did he have the same hopes and fears? Despite growing up in Garp Tower, surrounded by his Adia's family, Jin Ling knew more stories about his Anyan. Jin Ling remembered each time those rare moments happened, desperately trying to memorize each and every word as he sat quietly and listened. Those nights always felt surreal, his Juju's voice uncommonly soft and vulnerable, nearly drowned out by the sound of the insects around them and the water lapping at the pier. It didn't take long for Jin Ling to realize Juju would only talk about his Anyan after he had too much wine. Once, Jin Ling asked Daiju about his Anyan. It was awkward for both of them at first, but slowly that had faded, and Jin Ling was treated to hours of stories about her. Most he already knew from his Juju, but a few were new. Something to add to his little precious collection. When he asked about his Adia, Daiju had hesitated just for a moment before telling Jin Ling about how he had fumbled his betrothal and had nearly lost his chance. He had heard the rumors growing up that they didn't have a happy marriage. Even Juju refused to talk about that, only telling him about the lotus pond at Carp Tower, and left it at that. To finally hear someone else tell that story with a sad but sweet laughter in their voice made Jin Ling have to hide a smile behind his cup of wine. He had asked, nearly begged, Daju to tell him stories about his Adia, anything he might have known when they were young. His Daju had sighed and looked away as he apologized, saying he didn't really know him well enough to give Jin Ling the answers he wanted. Jin Ling wished there was someone who held his Adia's memory in the same regard as his Anyan. Someone who could take him aside, bring him to a spot in the gardens they knew his Adia favored, and tell him anything. It could be the most mundane of things, or silly stories of his childhood. They could tell him about how he reacted when he got a Soi Hua, if he wrote with his left or right hand, how he walked, and what his favorite books were. But there was no one who could do this for him. Anyone who knew his Adia in the way Jin Ling needed was either dead or out of reach. Physically, Jin Ling knew he resembled him. But did he inherit any of his Adia's mannerisms? Jin Ling shared a lot of similarities with Juju, but that was something he learned. He could vividly remember spending hours following Juju around Lotus Pier, trying to mimic the way he moved and talked to his disciples, despite how everyone in Carp Tower tried to stop it. Would he have done the same with his Adia? Would he have grown up trailing behind him instead? Would his favorite food be the same as his Adia's? His favorite tea? Would he also die young? Everyone seemed to think so, if the rumors spreading around Carp Tower are to be believed. He knows it was most likely Jin Chan that started it, a stupid comment that picked up like wildfire. Jinling swears even the assassination attempts seem to have increased. Jinling also knows about the rumors going around, that he's become paranoid to the point that he is afraid of his own shadow. He could only laugh when he overheard one of the servants talking about him seeing assassins in every corner. At least there's some truth to that one.
You're a fucking cultivator!
Barry doesn't move from her spot near Zheng Cheng, nor does Jinling jump at the sound of Juju slamming his palm down on his desk. But he does flinch, just a small enough twitch of his fingers to make an unsightly smudge of ink onto the letter he had been trying to work on. Jinling would be more upset, but it's a little hard to care when he knows deep down the person he is writing to wants him gone.
I'm also a sect leader, Jinling says, while gesturing at his desk with his free hand.
Not that you could tell there was a desk there, with the abhorrent amount of paperwork covering it.
Figured you of all people would know what that means. You're right. But what kind of sect leader doesn't go on a single damn night hunt for a year?
Jinling leans back and sighs, almost too tired to fight. It had already been a shit day before Juju decided to drop by unannounced. This was the third day in a row he found something toxic to dogs where Fairy likes to roam. He would like to think they'd know better, to try and trick a spiritual animal as intelligent as Fairy to eat something poisonous to her. His eyes don't flick to the untouched teapot, the one he should have filled when Juju first stormed in, like he always used to.
Did you just come here to lecture me?
Ling. The sudden soft tone does make him fully flinch.
You need to leave Carp Tower.
I don't need to do bullshit.
I'm fine.
The silence that settles over them makes Jinling want to scream, but the look Juju gives him has him lower his gaze to the now abandoned letter as his next words come out hesitant and quiet.
I'm fine. Why did you come?
It's not safe.
This Jinling doesn't even have time to look.
Jinling doesn't even have enough time to look up when one of his letters suddenly gets flung into view.
Apparently, your lawn friends won't shut up about you.
It takes a moment for Jinling to process Juju's words as he stares down at an opened letter from Shizue. A letter he knows was sealed a moment ago.
You can't read my letters! If I get bombarded with questions about you one more time, I swear, I don't care how old you are, I will drag your ass to Gusu myself,
Juju says, blatantly ignoring Jinling's protest.
I just saw them a few months ago.
Okay, more than just a few, but still, he had been forced to go to a conference in Gusu, despite trying everything in his power to stay in Carp Tower.
Bullshit!
I did, he argues, and judging by the look Zheng Cheng is shooting him, he knows that Jinling is lying. Though, he really isn't, not truly. Jinling had seen them, was able to have one meal with them, but as soon as the conference was over, he had left, which wasn't exactly polite. His counsel had lectured him about improving his manners.
Jin Ling was still curious if the man that was the loudest about it was the one that had caused the paper he had stuck between his door to fall. Jin Ling had searched for hours for any sign of sabotage, but came up with nothing. That doesn't mean there wasn't an attempt. One to add to the never-ending list. Juju doesn't know about that list. About how much Jin Ling still doesn't trust anyone around him in Carp Tower. But something tells Jin Ling he's already figured it out.
You can't lock yourself up forever.
He knows that.
You're going.
To what?
You've been invited to a night hunt and you will go,
he says, while reaching over to tap at the letter.
I can't.
You can and you...
No, I'm serious. I have a meeting I need to go to and there's some issues with one of the towers that I have to address soon and a trade deal that I need to complete before winter.
I'll do it.
What? No, you can't. I can't let you do that.
For fuck's sake, it'll be fine.
How? I can't let another sect leader run mine. They'll hold that over me
for months. You're not letting another sect leader run your sect. You're letting your family assist you while you go out on a night hunt.
Jin Ling can't help but laugh in disbelief.
And what about my family here?
How many would try to kill Jin Ling after this? Not just him.
You're going.
Jin Ling hates that tone. It's one he can never argue against if he wants to win. The voice that has been yelling at him for a year now on what he needs to do to stay safe is screaming at him to stay, to keep his enemies where he can see them. From a small part of him is whispering that he should just give in, that Juju is right. He should take that letter and go see Shizue. Because he misses it. It was strange that out there, where he had to fight off horrifying creatures that wanted to kill him, he felt safer than being stuck here with a different breed of horrifying that wanted him dead. At least out there, he didn't have to make his own food. He could easily trust his friends to cook or eat at any restaurant. Out there, the worst thing he could eat was his Daju's cooking. Jin Ling groaned and rests his elbows on the desk as he digs the palms of his hands over his eyes. Juju, thankfully, stays quiet, making the sound of Fairy's nails against the floor painfully loud as she moves to sit next to Jin Ling. He's tempted to leave Fairy here with Juju, an extra barrier of protection, something to keep his mind calm. But then, he'd have to tell Juju about the stupid attempts to poison her. Reaching out with one hand, Jin Ling runs his fingers through Fairy's coat, as he drops his other to scan over the letter. He doesn't even have to read all of it to know that it looks like a ridiculously simple night hunt, one that Shizue could do on his own. There was no good reason why he should be asking for Jin Ling to join, and it would be fine if he rejects the offer. It's not like it would be the first time. Jin Ling really doesn't want to, though. He truly misses it. Misses not just the freedom or odd safety from night hunting, but also the thrill of it. Misses the satisfaction of completing a mission with little to no issue.
or the adrenaline rush of defeating something just strong enough to make his heart race. He misses running into Daju and hearing stories about before the war, or listening to his old theories and leaving Jin Ling to find new strange talismans in his bag afterwards. He misses Zi Chen, reciting his favorite poems every time they settle down for the night. Misses sparring with Shizwei and making silly kites for them to shoot down. Misses making stupid bets with Jin Yi, just to make a night hunt a little more interesting. The more ridiculous, the better. He misses making new memories with his friends and hates how his only involvement in their lives has been reduced to letters that half the time he couldn't find the energy or courage to reply to. He misses it, and he really misses his friends. This time, the silence that settles over them is different, but no less uncomfortable. He watches as Juju blatantly looks over at the ornate tea set. It used to be one of his favorites, and one that his Adya had owned. Pure white porcelain, with a golden peony painted at the bottom of each cup. Behind it are porcelain jars, meant to hold his personal stash of teas. One gifted to him from someone he has finally been able to call Daju without feeling guilty, and one that he was told was his Anyan's favorite. Another that had quickly become his favorite, sent from Gusu with a letter telling Jin Ling of the tea's medical benefits after he had complained about getting headaches from all the stress. That letter is currently hidden in a compartment under his bed that only he knows about, kept safe along with all the others he has received from his friends over the years. The tea set is clean, but missing one cup. The jar containing the tea has a fine layer of dust over them. If Juju were to look in there, he'd only find cheap tea put there only to give the jar some weight. Last time he went for a night hunt, Jin Ling had to throw out all... Last time he went on a night hunt, Jin Ling had to throw out all of it after nearly... Well, at least he was able to replace it all. And it was all already packed away, so that was one less thing to prepare. Jin Ling hangs his head and sighs before digging into the Chongkun bag he has started to always keep with him and bring out a vial. He stared at it for a moment. It looks simple, no fancy decorations or labels. Even the bottle looks cheaply made, just how he had requested. He sighs for a moment before pushing it along the papers toward Juju, who only gives it a quick glance before picking it up and glaring down at it. "What is this?" "Peace of mind." The response earns him a quick, unexpressed glance before Juju carefully uncorks the small vial and smells it. Jin Ling isn't sure Juju would be aware of what it is, but the look he gives Jin Ling makes him think otherwise. It also makes him feel guilty for a reason he can't quite explain. "Please..." Jin Ling says before Juju can say anything, his hands clenched so tightly in his lap that he starts to shake. He hates how small his voice sounds, as if he's back to being a teen
and not a grown man in his 20s. I won't go unless you keep that with you. For a moment, he thinks Juju will argue more or ask questions. He really doesn't want to answer. Luckily, he just sighs and places the vial in his sleeve. Fine. Jingyi likes sending Jinling long rambling letters, often jumping from one topic to another. They mostly consist of either amusing stories about a recent book he's read, or the strange talisman Daju had tried out around the cloud recesses, or about the children he had recently been put in charge of sword training. Liang Zichen's letters are even longer. He loves to fill each page with as many flowery words as possible. He would often complain about his parents pushing him to marry, despite Zichen being against political arrangements, a topic Jinling doesn't like to think about. At some point in the letter, he'd find a way to put in a passage from a poem he thought Jinling would like. Shizui's letters never feel like he's rambling or are filled with poetry. They're often only a single page long, telling him about any recent night hunts or knowledge he found interesting. He always seemed to find a way to slip in a joke that would throw Jinling off guard and have him grinning to the point his cheeks hurt. Without fail, Shizui would always end his letters with him wishing Jinling well and hoping to hear from him at his earliest convenience. This letter felt different. There was no dry humor or wit, just the minimal details of the night hunt. A rogue cultivator that Shizui had been traveling with on and off over the past year had heard of something strange happening in a small village. About a month ago, a fog had started to creep in out of the forest on the edge of the village. It doesn't fade, no matter the weather, and many have said to hear strange sounds and even voices coming from it. It was an extremely impersonal and straightforward letter that could have been written by anyone asking for assistance. This was normal whenever Shizui asked one of them to join him on a night hunt. All of them have teased Shizui before writing to them the same way he would write a report to Hongon Jun. However, one thing was blatantly different from this letter compared to every single one he'd sent before. I hope you are doing well, and look forward to hearing from you at your earliest convenience. Sincerely yours, Lan Yuan, courtesy name Shizui. I miss you. That very last part wasn't written in the same clear, precise lines that he's used to seeing from Shizui. Always so annoyingly perfect, as if he's transcribing some ancient important text for his sect library, and not a simple letter to a friend. It's his handwriting, but Jinling swears he can see how Shizui had hesitated on a few strokes, and the embarrassment radiating off the radicals. It makes Jinling's chest feel pleasantly warm, and his face uncomfortably hot, with the realization that Juju had no doubt read that part. However, once the rush of his own embarrassment burns through him, Jinling's guts sink with guilt. It wasn't that rare for someone to say they missed him in their letters, but this was the first time Shizui had said it. Well, outright said it. Before, he had danced around the topic, far too polite to outright bully Jinling to come visit, like Jingyi and Zichen had numerous times over the past year. It's funny, despite how many times everyone had brought up not seeing him, or complaining that whenever they tried to come over, Jin Ling is always too busy, and on and on. It's a simple I miss you that makes him break. His letter back isn't his letter back isn't his finest. His wording a jumbling mess, and his handwriting a little too sloppy for a sect leader. It hardly fills up half a page, yet he still finds the need to use some of his best stationery and ink. If he had sent a letter with this quality to someone like Lan Qiren, his council would have no doubt heard about it and cluck at him for hours on end. But for a friend, he hopes it would be welcome. Shizwei, I don't see why you need my help with this. Just get some of the younger disciples to do it. They could use the training. But I suppose if you really need me, I can come. I'll need to settle some things here first, and I can't be gone for more than a week. I'll meet you at the village in 3 days. With best regards, Jin Ling. I miss you too. End of chapter 1. Author's notes. Jin Ling. I have no one to tell me about my dad. Pouty face Kaomoji. Mian Mian. Why do I suddenly feel irritated?